text for today is the gospel lesson found in John chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. John chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. In our pew Bibles, found on page 1,687. John 1 through 14. And I read this portion of Scripture in Jesus' name. I ask you to stand out of reverence for God's word. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, the two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around himself, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net to shore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Let us bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this portion of your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word is truth. Sanctify us in the truth. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In my children's sermon, I reminded the kids of Luke chapter 5, where Jesus told Peter, "Throw your nets over the side of the boat." And Peter said, "Lord, we've been working, we've been toiling all night and have caught nothing, but nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the nets." And the bounty of fish was great. The nets were bursting. Jesus told his disciples. The angels told the women to tell the disciples, "He would go ahead of you, and you would meet him on the mountain in Galilee." And they were waiting. I'm not going to say they were waiting patiently, but they were waiting. And in the process of waiting, Peter said, "Hey, I'm going to go fishing. Everyone else, we are too." Now, this is not a sermon against fishing. I enjoy good fish. I appreciate the beauty of where we live right here. But Jesus had called Peter and the others to something else. And remember when in Luke chapter 5, when Jesus called Peter and the other disciples, he said, "Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And we read that they left everything, that they left their boats and their nets, and they followed Jesus. They left everything behind and followed Jesus. And later in Matthew 19, Jesus was talking to the people, and Peter responded in this situation. He said in reply, Matthew 19, 27, "See, we have left everything and followed you." We see, starting in verse 1, we see an introduction. After Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias or the Sea of Galilee, he revealed himself in this way. As we look at this passage, there's not a lot of application in the sense of, okay, I need to switch my nets from the left side to the right side, or not a lot of application in this way, but the application, especially at the end, the most important thing is what we're going to highlight. We read the term revealed himself. Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples, and revealed or manifested is how it's used in most of our translations. Before this portion, before John 21, Jesus uses John uses this term six times about Jesus manifesting himself or Jesus being manifested or revealed. And altogether, he used this term 17 times. It's an important word because it was Jesus revealing himself, Jesus revealing his glory, Jesus showing himself to be alive after his crucifixion and death. So we see the intro to this portion in verse 1, that Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. Then going on to verses 2 and 3, we see that Jesus hides the fish from the former fishermen. And you might be thinking, well, come on, Pastor, I don't know. Is he hiding fish? It seems to me like he was. Because these were men who knew how to fish. And they came back with nothing. And I believe just from what follows that the Lord, however he did it, prevented those fish from being caught until the right time. We see the fishermen, or I call the former fishermen, who are gathered together. We see Simon Peter. We see Thomas, also called Didymus, which means the twin. We see Nathanael of Cana in Galilee. We see the sons of Zebedee, and John, whenever he writes about himself, he always doesn't mention his name, and here included. The sons of Zebedee, James and John, and then two other disciples. And I'm not sure why he doesn't mention them. Maybe they weren't introduced earlier in the Gospel of John. There wasn't maybe a need to emphasize who those were, but there were seven. There were seven men who were together, who were waiting, patiently or impatiently, however you might see it. But we see that these seven men, these seven disciples went fishing. Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. And it says that they got in the boat, and it almost sounds to me like it's the boat that used to be Peter and his partner's boat. And I'm not sure if that's the case or not. I'm not sure if they borrowed boats from someone else. And again, I'm not saying it was wrong for them to fish, but I think they learned in the process that whatever vocation God has called them to, God will equip and enable them to do what God has called them to do. But when God has called them to something more important, that's what they need to focus on. We read the seven disciples caught nothing all night. They went out, they got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. They caught nothing. These are guys who are good at their trade. They made a living in this way. Imagine coming back, and I know it happens even to professional fishermen, but to come back skunked. Your family the next day, how many fish did you get, Dad? None. All night fishing, you got none? But then starting in verse 4, Jesus revealed himself to the former fishermen or to his disciples. Jesus, we read in verse 4, stood on the shore without the disciples recognizing him. Regardless of the distance, sometimes on the road to Emmaus, for example, he kept himself from being revealed to those two disciples on the way to Emmaus. And whether they didn't recognize him from the distance or if he kept himself from being recognized, we don't see clearly in the passage. But it just says that they didn't know that it was Jesus. They didn't expect it, certainly, to be Jesus in that situation. And then in verse 5, he asked the question. He revealed himself through the catch of fish. He revealed himself through the catch of fish. Remember in Luke chapter 5? They caught more than their nets could hold. Their nets were bursting. And here Jesus asked a question, and in the different translations, sometimes it shows it better than other ways. In the ESV, it says, in the NIV, it says, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" And their answer was no. In the ESV, it says, "Children, do you have any fish?" And in the New American Standard, it kind of shows a little bit more light there. Jesus asked a question expecting a negative answer. He already knew. He already knew. He's not surprised. He's not saying, "Give me information because I don't know." But he's helping them to admit that they got skunked. And he said, "Children, you do not have any fish, do you?" The implied negative answer. "You do not have any fish, do you?" And they said, "No." "Cast your net off the right side and you will find some." Hear his command. They don't know it's Jesus. He's on the shore. He's saying, you didn't get any, did you?" "No, we didn't. Try the right side." And they don't challenge, they don't question. They respond. And then we read that when they cast it in, they threw it in. Now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of the fish. And the idea of not able to haul it in, they no longer had strength to draw it in. That's how many fish there were. That's how much of an effort it was. They were at the end of their strength. They were exhausted. John says to Peter, "It's the Lord. It's the Lord." And Peter, we've seen his impulsiveness before. But he was so excited to see the Lord. He took off his outer garment for fishing. He put it back on. And instead of throwing the net, which is the word that was used before, they cast the net out, they threw the net out. Peter threw himself into the water. He couldn't wait. He couldn't wait to see his Lord. He hopped overboard, swam to shore. And then we read in verse 8, "The other disciples followed in the boat with a net full of fish. They were not far from the land, about 100 yards. And then in verse 9 and 10, again, remember Jesus is showing himself in several different ways at several different times to his disciples. He first revealed himself to the women. One of the women said, "He's not there. He's alive. The angel said that he's been raised." And Peter and John went running. John arrived first, but Peter went in the tomb first. Saw everything neat and orderly, but there's no body. And we saw last Sunday the two times that Jesus appeared to the disciples, not the individuals or the small group, but the bigger group. And the first time, remember, Thomas wasn't there. Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples. That was the second time. Only that time Thomas was there. Prior to that, Thomas said, "Unless I touch his hand and his side, I won't believe." Jesus revealed himself and said, "Thomas, touch and see." Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." And here, a third time, to the larger group of disciples, Jesus reveals himself. Shows himself alive. And this time eating with them, even preparing breakfast. It's kind of funny that the disciples are out working all night trying to get fish. And here, when it's breakfast time, Jesus is on the shore with a charcoal fire and the fish sizzling, ready to be eaten. Jesus invites his disciples to have breakfast with him. Again, remember one of the times Jesus appeared to his disciples. They were afraid. "It's a ghost." "No. Touch me." He ate food. It was really Jesus. Breakfast was ready. Verse 9, we see that they got out on the land. They saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. I've been working on this text during the week. I've been hungry for fish all week. And then Jesus said to Peter, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." And Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153. They were sorting them out, counting them. The number stuck in their head because it was amazing. It was a special event. It was a special time that Jesus revealed himself, that he, in fact, was alive from the dead. And they remembered that number, I would imagine, till the very day of their death. But we read here, although there were so many, the net was not torn. In contrast to Luke chapter 5, and we read in verses 12 and 13 that Jesus' disciples, and literally this is the idea, had come to know and were still knowing that he is Lord, that he is the Lord. "Come and have breakfast," Jesus invited them. And we read, none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. They knew it was the Lord. Verse 13, Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. He was serving his disciples. But in the food, there was that assurance that Jesus was alive. They were spending time with him. And all the accounts of the resurrection, and some of those, most of them are summarized in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul gives the accounts of the resurrected Lord and his appearances. And even on one occasion, he appeared to 500 Christians all at once. They remembered those appearances. They remembered, if anyone would have said, you know, Jesus didn't really rise from the dead, you just misplaced his tomb. They could say, oh, the first time it happened this way, the second time it was here, third time it was here, the fourth time it was here, and then we had a fish and bread dinner, a meal for breakfast. They could be convinced. They could be convinced. Verse 14 is a conclusion in this portion. Now, this is now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Again, there were other appearances, but to this group of men, Jesus revealed himself again. They were, if not before convinced, they were certainly becoming convinced. Even to the point of the apostles, all but the apostle John, were put to death, were martyred for their faith in Jesus. And for their testimony, not just that Jesus was a good man, not just that he suffered and died, but that he suffered and died for our sins, for the sins of the world, that he was raised again on the third day. And you read through the book of Acts, and you see that the message of the apostles was not focused on themselves. It was focused on Jesus Christ, God's chosen Messiah, who was put to death not because of anything he had done, but because of our sins. But God raised him from the dead. And Peter and the other apostles said, and we are eyewitnesses. We are eyewitnesses. And they continued to share that message even in the face of opposition, in the face of persecution, and even in the face of death. The take home, I believe, for this message is not what side of the boat to fish on, what time of the day to fish on, any allegorizing of the fish or the nets or anything else. It's not getting into the boat of your life and using the nets of your faith, and it's not that. It's that Jesus suffered and died, but he was raised from the dead on the third day. We have a risen Savior. We have good news. That's what we need to tell people. It's what people need to hear. People, whether they're in the Ukraine, and I always use the definite article, whether they're in Ukraine or in Brookings, Oregon, they need to hear about Jesus. We need to be convinced of what the Bible teaches is the truth. We have eyewitnesses. Eyewitnesses who even went to their death, never changing their story, never saying, oh, we made up this ending. They died confessing Jesus Christ as Lord to the very end. And that is the confession of this church. And it should be the confession of every Christian church around the world. Our message is Christ and Him crucified. We might learn some other things that will help us in our life, in our vocation, in living out our faith, and those can be good things. But the central message that we go back to again and again is Jesus died for my sins and was raised on the third day. And He ever lives to make intercession for the saints, that He prays for those who are believers. He helps us day by day. He promised to be with us, and especially in the context of the church, fulfilling the Great Commission to make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey whatsoever things He has commanded us. That's our message. Repentance and the forgiveness of sins through faith in Jesus. We have good news to share. We have good news to share. Let's share it this week as God gives us opportunities. Jesus is alive. Not just a holiday we celebrate once a year. It's what we celebrate every Sunday. It's what we can celebrate every day of our lives for the glory of God. Amen.